Well, for three Sundays in a row, this is a new crowd, but I think you're my favorite still yet. Praise God. All right, who's got me on good? Hebrews 11th chapter, or 12th chapter, and verse 15, and then we'll go back to Luke chapter 15. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Then in Luke chapter 15, and let's drop down to verse 25. Luke 15:25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Gary, you want to stand and pray for me? Yes, we do. Text found in Hebrews, the 12th chapter there, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Have a subject this morning, be on this matter of bitterness. I don't know, it seems to me that generally whenever we deal with this subject and think of this picture of these two sons, we think of the prodigal son kind of as the hero. He had traveled afar and wasted what his father had divided to him, but in the midst of it all, he came to himself, got out of the predicament that he was in, and made his way back home, made his humble confession that he was wrong, that he'd sinned against his father and against heaven, and came back in humility and said, just make me as one of your hired servants. And he was a hero, I'm sure of that. He got it straightened up. I don't know how much he wasted. I don't know how much he squandered. But if that's what it took to salvage his soul and to get him in the right relationship with God and heaven, then whatever it cost, I suppose it was worth it. But due to the fact that we have a gracious, loving Heavenly Father, He's concerned this morning with every individual. And while there was that one that was traveling afar and making his way just as quickly as he could toward the pig pen, yet there was another fellow that was back in the home church. He led the singing or superintended the Sunday school or had some part in the prayer meeting service. When the collection plate came around, he had his tithe envelope ready or his check made out, and he dropped it in. He didn't go out into outbroken sin, trying to find pleasure out there in the things of the world. To him, life was pretty mundane and pretty regular. He didn't care about change, just to go through the routines, and that's what he done. I think there came that time when his younger brother said, "Give me what's coming to me, and mounted on his steed that day, went off in a cloud of dust. I suppose he did. Had all that money, I can't hardly, as lazy as he was, I can't hardly imagine that he walked. I believe he was somewhat shiftless in his responsibility. Let Dad worry about the farm. Nell or brother worry about the farm and the responsibility. He'd leave it on him. He wasn't going to worry about it. But I believe whenever he left that day, probably there had been a little bit of that friction between those two personalities, younger brother and elder brother, one rubbing the other the wrong way. And whenever he rolled off that day in a cloud of dust, no doubt elder brother said, maybe things will kind of settle down around here and get back into the rut and get back into the mundane of things, and it'll just be better this way. And maybe for him it was better for days to come. And then it was kind of like Job said, the thing that I feared is come upon me. For he made his way that day in from the field, tired and weary, dirty and sweaty, having labored faithfully another day there on the farm just like he always had. But in this particular time there was an unusual sound that caught his ear as he came in distance of the house. And he called one of the servants and said, "Hey, come over here. Something's different today. What's activity going on around here this evening?" "Oh," he said, "man, haven't you heard? Your younger brother's come home. And your dad's all excited about it. And he's ordered the fatted calf to be killed. We've got the orchestra in. That's the music that you hear. They're having great time. Camp meetings on. The lost has been saved and the wanderer has been found. And it's a hilarious time. Come on in and join us." And it was like a dagger that went to the elder brother's heart. I'd like to point out just a few things, what the results of bitterness will do. First of all, elder brother couldn't rejoice at good news. He couldn't rejoice at glad tidings. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen any individual ever tried to worship with individuals like that. But they couldn't rejoice. I mean, there was something else that had gained their attention through the weekend, the service or something, and it just knocked the glory all out of their soul, and they were out of sorts, and there was no way that they could rejoice at that. When I was a kid, before I went away to Bible school, worked with a carpenter, and he attended my dad's church. He had a teenage boy, the same age I did. Darrell was in class. We were seniors, graduated together that year. But there was something, there was different things in Lawrence's life that rubbed him the wrong way. One of those things, I think, was that teenage boy. Another thing that irritated him and rubbed him the wrong way was, as he would say, old Lady Hatley, which was his mother-in-law, and that was a great thorn in the flesh. And he said, people wonder why I can't come down there to church with a smile on my face and the glory in my soul, when he had at least those two things. And I think mainly it was Sister Hatley that probably... But that just knocked the glory out of his soul. And with a lot of individuals this morning, the devil will see to it that there's a lot of things that comes along the way to knock the glory out of their soul and wipe the smile off of their face, and they can't rejoice regardless of what comes along. But it seemed like this was revival time. This was camp meeting time. This was convention time. This was a time when a precious soul had been saved, and whenever it was a time for rejoicing, and the Father thought it was time for rejoicing. And so if He thought it was time for rejoicing, I believe that it was safe grounds to think that it was time for rejoicing, but He couldn't rejoice at good tidings because of the bitterness that was in his soul. I was reading the other day about a fellow that had been Supreme Court judge. He was walking home after service that Sunday morning with his pastor, and they had had communion that morning. And the pastor said, did you notice who was kneeling by you to partake of communion this morning? And the Supreme Judge had. It was a converted burglar that had gotten saved. In fact, he had served 7 years in the pen. In fact, he had served those 7 years in the pen at the pronouncement of that judge. And the judge said, what a marvel of God's grace. No. Oh, no. No, the judge said, I'm not... Pastor, he said, I don't mean that fella. He said he was a burglar. He was down and out. About the only way that he could turn to any advantage was to the Lord, and to take the grace and the help and whatever pardon that the Lord could offer. He said, Pastor, I'm talking about this boy. He said, I was raised in church. I was raised to be honest and to be fair, and my word was my bond. I attended church. I had a profession. I partook of communion. But I was far, far away from God. He said, what a marvel of God's grace that reached my heart and saved me. Well, what a marvel of God's grace that reached the elder brother. I'd like to thank that because the Father came out and entreated him as he does every individual and reasoned with him. For the Scripture said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be crimson, let's talk this thing over and look at it in a reasonable light. I've got mercy and I've got help and I've got pardon for you. He couldn't rejoice at good news. In fact, he was angry. Now, sometimes, generally, you can assess somewhat the mood people are in when they come to church. Some folk don't aim to get anything out of it. They're unconcerned. They don't care. Whatever, it's all right. They don't care. They don't aim to sing. They don't aim to testify. Destiny, you didn't testify this morning, did you? You've got a good one. I miss it. I appreciate it when you do. They don't aim to get into the service. They just don't. Then there's some that are kind of like elder brother. They've had a falling out with their husband or with their wife. I mean, they chawed on each other almost clear up until they got within, they didn't want nobody to hear them, and so they quit somewhere between when they got out of the car and got to the door. Boy, it's hard to testify over that, you know, on Sunday morning, whenever, you know. She didn't iron the right shirt. One that she had laundered and it had a streak on it. Expect a fella to look like halfway something decent, you know, and come like that. Me and wife never had a crossword this morning. She's not home, and I tried to call her 3 times, and she didn't answer the cell phone, and we never had a crossword. But he was angry, he was mad, and sometimes folk actually come to church mad, and I'm not so sure that sometimes they don't come to the altar mad. They're under conviction and they know they ought to do something and the gospel has been preached and it's come close to their heart and they come, but they're mad. I can show you a fellow in the Bible that was mad. God was dealing with his heart and he wouldn't pray. He was in the bottom of the ocean and he was in a bad fix, but he was so carnal and so rebellious and running from God until he wasn't about to pray. You know, God respects our free moral agency, and there's things that he won't make us do. He can bring some circumstances to pass, though, that kind of make us willing. Well, let's move on here. Well, others could rejoice, he couldn't. I think we could say he had blurred priorities at this point. I'm not just sure what his priorities were. Probably it was work. It was materialism. It was keeping things in high gear on the farm, keeping output, everything going the way that it ought to. The matter of missions, matter of the next door neighbor, the matter of a lost soul, the matter of a lost brother. just somehow didn't fit too well into his program. And Brother Snyder, I appreciated your request. I love Rodney Boer. In Illinois, I pastored at He pastored over close to Charleston, and I pastored over, where did I pastor? Marshall, Illinois. He worked for Kmart, and he took all of their tires, their used tires. They didn't sell used tires. He'd take all of their tires, all their takeoffs, and get them out of their way. I ran a tire shop at Marshall. And he'd sort through them, pick out the good ones, and I'd buy all the good ones that he had. I bought hundreds of used tires off of him. But he left there and Diane, his wife, took nursing. And I don't know if there was any trouble in the home, I don't know, but I know being around that influence, you'd know more about it, some of you ladies, than I would. And being in with that crowd around the doctors, but her love grew cold at home and her affections centered on somebody at work, and the home broke up. But Rodney said he ran into a church problem. And I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But later he said, evidently, it wasn't like I thought it was. It wasn't like that. But he made shipwreck through it all. I'd like to see nothing better than him to get back to God, because out of the Petersburg church, he was dug out of a life of sin and got to God and got a good start and got on his way. God still loves him this morning. Pray for him when you think about him. All right, blurred priorities. I think we could reasonably say that the elder brother went into a pout. If that might be putting it mildly, since he was mad. But I think we could say that he went into a pout. It's hard to get too good a cooperation when people go into a pout. Did you know that you don't have to say anything to speak volumes? Is the fellow there in the home and blowed up and mad and crossways with his wife? He said, well, I haven't said anything. But he had. Oh, not audibly, but he'd got the message across as to how he felt. You know, in this matter of being bitter, there's nobody allergic to it. Nobody that's, is it whenever you have a resistance against something? Immune to it. Whenever you get old, there's things that you're not immune to. The young and the old alike. I have seen children in the home that was filled with bitterness. Woo! I mean, you could swipe it off of them with a board. I knew Paul Mullen when he was a kid. I would tell him, I wouldn't say anything that I wouldn't tell him. He knows that, I guess, this morning. I've told him. He was the most hateful. He could radiate animosity and venom until you didn't even want to be, didn't even want to be in the same room with him. God's grace done a lot for him. I've told him that. It really did. And it'll do a lot for other people too, if they'll just let it. I don't know which is the worst, a rebellious, hateful, smart aleck kid that you'd like to... Well... You know, sometimes you can slap a kid hard enough that you, his feet's up here when, and his head the other way. But that, maybe that's not the answer. I don't know. I don't know what's the worst, a kid like that that needs correction, or whether it's an old person, an old grump, Stanley, maybe like me and you. You know. Isn't it wonderful to grow sweeter as you get old? If you think I have it, you didn't know me when I was young. Praise God. Kimberly, I'm so sweet. I'm so patient. Can you say amen? Well, let's see if I find somebody else that don't know me so well. Curdy. A sweet old person. Thank God for sweet old people that just love the Lord and radiate His presence and His goodness. They've weathered the storms and somehow have learned to cope with life. You know, you don't have to compromise with others. And yet at the same time, Brother Snyder, you don't have to get harsh and bitter and censorious about it, but the temptation sometimes is to do that. Well, we don't have to. My goal was never to become fat and critical. I guess I lost the first battle, but I don't have to lose the second. Okay. He wouldn't go in. He'd show them. He'd make them feel bad. He'd be in a pout. He'd just stay out the barn. I wonder... Yeah, who's that coming in there? Somebody else coming in there, neighbor, getting in on it. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, I won't be there. Go ahead, let them have it. Let them call that fella for evangelist, and I know what he is. And Brother Mitchell said one place where he was at, they voted on him. And 66 people voted on him. He got 65 yeses, and he got one no. And this woman come up to him after it's over, said, "I guess you wondered who that one no was." Well, yeah, I guess he did, Callie. She said, "Well, I voted yes for a fellow one time, and he wasn't no count and didn't turn out. And I promised the Lord then that I'd never vote yes again for another preacher. And I feel like I ought to keep my promise." Oh, brother. I'm telling you, you've got to pastor the nuts and the ignorant and the misinformed and the suspicious and the whole crowd. And love that one just as much as you try to, much as you would the other 65. Okay, he wouldn't go in. He'd rather stay out there in his tired, miserable condition, probably thirsty for a drink of cold water, and that just made him feel better to be thirsty after sweating and laboring out there and want that, and just to suffer a little bit along with it. That just made him feel better. You know. I'm not going in. Bitterness will make you impatient. This is another point. This is three. I'm moving on. Bitterness will make you impatient with God. He said, I guess it just don't pay to serve God. Here I never broke your commandments. Here I've toiled from sun up to sundown, done what you told me to do. I guess it just don't pay to serve God. Put them on the board. And me with all my wisdom and all my experience down there on the church. And they just left me sit on the sideline. Well, maybe it do you good, maybe it don't. I don't know. Me and Brother Earl have got a little joke between us. I mean, I admit that I'm a misfit. You can talk to him and get his version, his side of it, but I'll admit. I ought to be the one to teach that Sunday school class. And they put somebody else in that don't know. Well, probably never read the second chapter of Jude in all their life. Have you? Have you? I'm looking at you, Melissa. Have you? Huh? Okay. She assumes she has. Bless her heart. Read it again next week and turn it in on your account next week, will you? That wasn't fair. I'm glad I wasn't depending on you to fix dinner for me today. I'm not going to ask Angie. The wicked prosper, and here I never failed, and I'm the one that suffers. Demon rubbed a little salt in the wound. They took up a love offering for them when they was having it rough. And I've been putting my tithe in down there all the time and supporting the church, and now then that I'm flat on my back and sick and having it rough and financially and missed a half a day's work, and they didn't take a love offering up for me. You can see how they run things around here. That he said, your son, not my brother, but your son, out there and throwed his money away, a whoremonger running with that rough crowd and that wild crowd and that ungodly, immoral crowd, and squandered his money. Let him come back barefooted with blisters on his feet. Let him look like a bum. That's what he deserves. Sure he did. Didn't he, girl? I think he did too. But I deserved some things too. You did too, girl. But what I found Calvary, he said, Father, you've got to do something for my sake. Because of Calvary, because of the blood, you got to do something for this boy. Praise God. Whew. Hallelujah. Well, that's going to point four. Bitterness will cause you to down others and exalt self. That's what he's feeling pretty good. He said, boy, he really failed. He disappointed you. He brought blight on our name. And I've been home, and I haven't, and that's good. His father didn't argue with him, didn't tell him that he shouldn't have done that. I pay my tithe, I attend, I serve, I do all these things. Then bitterness will fill you with jealousy. the fatted calf. Here I've been faithful and you never did. He's laying it on his father. You never did kill the fatted calf for me. You know what? He never did want one. People use every kind of angle when they think it's their, as good as any criminal lawyer there ever was, to use every advantage whenever they think they've got it. He didn't want a fatted calf. He didn't want to have his friends in if he had any. With an attitude like he had, I don't know whether he had any or not. Everybody needs a friend. If he did, they might have been as censorious and bitter and everything as he is. Them kind really get together good. They really got a lot in common. What did you think of that service this morning? Yeah, that's what I thought about it too. Yeah. Wasn't too much spiritual depth in that, was I? No. Yeah. On and on. That got quiet, didn't it? Okay. Fill you with jealousy. His father will come out and entreated him, and I'd like to think that he saw the reasonableness of his father's position. And he said, "Son, I appreciate what you've done. I don't know what we have done. And I don't know what the church would do if you don't have the stayers, and if you don't have the payers, and if you don't have the crowd that's in there, whether you recognize them or not. They're just in there and they're faithful. You've got to have them." And son, I appreciate that, and God appreciates that. But really, this is your brother. This is your brother, son. You don't want him to burn in hell, do you? And be lost? Really, he said, it's me. It's just the proper thing that we celebrate. I'd like to think he got up, dusted the seat of his pants off and said, "Dad, I believe you're right. I believe my attitude has been wrong. Set me a place in there at the table. As soon as I can get these clothes off and get something more appropriate on, I'll be in there." And just like you throwed your arms around young brother when he come, I'm going to follow suit and let him know there's something in my heart. I love him. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and then others are defiled by it too. We don't have to let it happen. Let's stand. Warren dismisses.